Look here. In verse 12. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who had measured and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? Can you number dust? Can you measure the dust that's present in the world? Are you able to measure water? When you hold it up, try to get a hold of water in the palm of your hand. And weigh the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. I didn't even know that mountains can be weighed. But who can weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor had taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? These are questions that elicit just, who do you think God's counselor is? Who is more than God? Who is God's advisor? You know, everyone has everyone works for somebody, everyone advises someone, everyone, you know, we look to someone for advice and guidance and things like that. But when it comes to God, who do you think God's counselor is? The plain answer to this question is that no one. No one is a counselor to God. No one is a teacher of God. He says here, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. You know, when you're talking about God, you know, people again use God's name as if it's some ordinary name, and look at God as someone. It's someone outside, you know, of our lives, and some far up in heaven who is not at all, you know, sovereign. As if all the things, all the decisions that we have to make in this life, all the issues in this life. And people think that we have, man is a measure of all things. Is that when it comes to finding wisdom, man has it. When it comes to, you know, knowledge, man has it. Not knowing, not understanding that God is the source of all the knowledge and the wisdom. Look at verse 15. We talk so much about how great America is. You know, I think it is just right that every American be patriotic. I believe some of the most patriotic citizens are Christians. Some of the, you know, you cannot find any other group of people who love the country, who pray for the president, the leadership, both federal, local, state, and who respect authority. You cannot find any better group of people than believers. I want you to take a look at verse 15. As far as God is concerned, verse 15, Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. How many of you are slightly offended by that? And look at here, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he take up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. And look at this, 17. All nations before him. And when we're talking about God, now we're talking about some despite the great things that our country, how great you think our country is, when it comes to God, he says, even this country is as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing. Oh, beautiful. Oh, precious skies, right? Great. The America, the great. But the Bible says it is less than nothing. And vanity. The point here is not to put down our country. But the point here is to have a proper perspective of who God is. As far as God is concerned, when you're talking about that level, our country is less than nothing. All nations to him are as nothing. And here's the question, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? So many questions. I thought we're here to talk about God, right? But then we're just bombarded with questions. Who is his counselor? Who is his instructor? Who can you liken God to? Who is his likeness? The answer to those questions is just one simple. It's no. No one. Nothing. That's who God is. There is only one, the Most High. Nothing can be compared unto our God. If you imagine the vast numbers, how many millions of stars, billions of stars in the universe, how vast the universe is, so many different planets, so many things in the universe. God made them all. All the numbers of electrons, the protons, the neutrons. I don't even know how many there are. So when people think that I am rich, it's really nothing in the big scheme of things. As far as God is concerned, it's just, and if a country is less than nothing in the eyes of God, you can see the glory of the Almighty God. the actual his true riches. If as far as he's concerned, the riches of America, the riches of this world, the entire universe, all the treasures combined, it's nothing compared to God. Based on that, how do you imagine God? Who can be likened unto him? The workman melted a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold and cast it silver chains. He's talking about the idols. But that's another story. That's why there's no, you know, for us believers, we don't have graven images to worship. Slide down to verse 22. Look at this. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, verse 26, and behold, who had created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names of by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know every hair of your head. God knows. Right? He knows more than what you know about yourselves. That is God. Let me just look over my notes real quick. So we talked about how the nations are compared to God. We talked about how even the princes, he is the one that directs all the princes of the earth. And he bringeth them to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. You know what else? Look at verse 27 and 28. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. You know what that question is? Is there anything hidden from God? Is there anything that we can hide from him? Nothing is hidden from God. Verse 28, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. And then here's the promise, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. There's nothing like our God. Amen. There's nothing that can be compared unto him. There's nothing hidden from God. He is the one that determines what goes on, what doesn't go on, who is successful, who is supposed to be the leader, who's supposed to be not the leader. He's the one that establishes kingdom. He's the one that breaks down and destroys kingdoms. And I've said every hair of a person is even numbered. Can you imagine that? I cannot imagine that. Nothing is impossible with God. One of the things that's possible with God is this. That even how wretched you are, even though you think you're such in a mess as far as sin is concerned, that same God that we're talking about, of all his glory and his majesty, and that even the nations are compared as less than nothing to our God. Here's one thing. He can save you. He's not too far. To save you. He is not out of touch, despite the glory and the majesty, how huge God is, and we can't even imagine. Here's a good thing. Here's the good news, though, you know, despite of all those glory and like what I said, he's a personal God, you know. And we said that there's nothing impossible with him. And looking at your situation, whatever situation you're in, no matter how much you're going through in this life, that same God who is full of majesty and grandeur, he's able and he's willing to be part of your life. Isn't that wonderful? That's why tonight I just wanted to just talk about that. How great our God is. And we ought to be careful when we come to pray and whatever we pray, either morning or night, whenever we come to him in prayer, even when we give him thanks before we eat our food or whatever we do. Let's have the right perspective. Well, who are we talking to? I think we just take it for granted as Christians that, you know, we come to God and, you know, Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that, and Lord, I need this, can I have this, Lord, and, you know, and then go on our day. And we take it for granted and forget to realize that the one you're talking to looks at our world as less than nothing. But we can rest, we have assurance. The other side of the coin is that, again, through Christ, we can reach Him. Through Christ, we have a special relationship with God. The same God that we just described in the Bible as great and wonderful. So I thank God. And this week, when we celebrate Thanksgiving with our family, our family members, our friends, I hope that we realize and we have a testimony or a witness. We become witness of how great God is, how privileged we are, how blessed we are, that we have a God who has provided us with so much. Who's, despite His being great, that we can actually have a special relationship, a personal relationship with someone like that. What a privilege that we Christians have. What a privilege. I know it's a short message, and I just wanted to tell you about it, tell you about God, and I think it's just a good reminder for us as we celebrate this Thanksgiving week. So let us stand and be close in prayer. You know what, why don't we have a short invitation tonight? Let's bow our heads and pray for a little bit. With a piano playing, just a short invitation. I know tonight wasn't a whole lot of doctrinal teaching or preaching per se. I thought about preaching to you about spiritual warfare and from the book of Nahum. But for some reason, God has just changed my heart and said, some reason He told me this. Why don't you just talk about me? So let's just take a moment and thank God. Magnify Him in our hearts, in our minds. What a great God we have. Can you imagine if no one told you about Jesus Christ? Can you imagine if you're not saved? It is a privilege. To be called a child of God. Great God, we can call Father. That is a privilege. more stanza. Be seated as we close in prayer. I like that verse, the last verse that says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You cannot understand that verse without first understanding what my brother talked about the nature of God. The reason why we serve, the reason why we're able to serve, the reason why we keep on serving, we keep on renewing our strength, we keep on mounting up like eagles, and we keep on running without getting tired of serving Him. The reason why we keep on walking the Christian walk and not fainting is because we know the God that we serve. Amen. Let's close in prayer. I hope everyone has a good week this week for Thanksgiving. Those of you that are driving, we'll pray for you safely. For those of you that are going out of town, Brother Romel is going to Minnesota. Brother Romel, you're flying out tomorrow. Anybody else that's leaving, pray for Sister Karen. Sister Karen is having a surgery tomorrow at 1:30. Please do not forget, Sister Karen. If you have some time, please remember Brother Arlen. Okay, he's going to spend Thanksgiving in the hospice in Coronado. If you have some time throughout the week, maybe you can bring him a pie, bring him something. Just remember him. I guarantee you he wants to be here with us during this Thanksgiving, this holiday season, but he's not able to. So keep him in your prayer. If you're not able to pay him a visit, keep him in your prayer. Give him a phone call. Amen. Sometimes a phone call is all that's needed. How long does it take for you? How much effort does it you have to put in to call somebody? How many digits? 10. Is it so difficult to press 10 times? Is it that difficult? And spend even 5 minutes and say, "Brother Arlen, We're thinking about you. We're praying for you. We just want to say happy Thanksgiving." Is that difficult? And I'm just using Brother Arlen as an example, but I know you know some other ones, right? Some other ones that aren't able to be with us, that may be alone during this Thanksgiving season. My wife is... I will be at work. You pray for me. Somebody's got to hold the fort down while all of the administrators go on their own way, spend time with their family members. I get to stay and manage the place. Pray for me. I'm going to be the watch sergeant on that Thanksgiving day with no one else above me because the lieutenant's going to be out of town. Pray for me for 16 hours. I will be in charge of the entire building of our unit. So, but my wife is opening up our home at 7 o'clock on Thursday. If you don't have a place to go,
I'd like to hear that you came to our house and fellowship with us. If you have nowhere to go, our house is open 7 o'clock in the afternoon or in the evening. It's potluck. Try to bring something or not. Just come if you don't have a place to go. Just come. Amen. I'll probably be watching you on some kind of screen. Just eat for me, okay, and have fun for me while I get to work. Amen. Let's close it in prayer. Oh, Brother Romel, why don't you pray, Brother Romel? And close this in prayer, Brother Romel. Thanksgiving, everyone.